Welcome to St. James Bible Bites. This podcast was recorded live at our Sunday morning service. The talk is by the Reverend Fabian Wirtz, entitled Rooted in Christ. The readings are taken from Matthew 7, verses 21 to 29, and Colossians 1, verses 9 to 14. You can watch the whole service on our Facebook page, as well as our YouTube channel, both linked on our website.
Morning, ladies and gentlemen. Our first reading is from Matthew chapter 7 and verses 21 to 29. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does my will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall, because it had its foundations on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. And it fell with a great crash. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. This is the word of the Lord.
Morning. Our second reading is going to be from the letter that Paul wrote to the church at Colossae. He's just been talking in his letter, the start of his letter, about the faith that they've shown in Jesus and the love that they've shown to all the church, their fellow Christians. Reading from Colossians chapter 1. Verses 9 through to 14. For this reason, since the day we heard it, we have not ceased praying for you and asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you may live lives worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, as you bear fruit in every good work, and as you grow in the knowledge of God. May you be made strong with all the strength that comes from his glorious power, and may you be prepared to endure everything with patience, while joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has enabled you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. This is the word of the Lord.
I thought to start this morning with a little game. You possibly know, hopefully you've played that at home. It's a game of true or false. So each time I would say, if you think it's true, you raise your hand. If you think it's false, you raise your hand. So first question, not too difficult, I think. Transylvania is a historical region located in central Romania. Is it true? Is it false? No one dares to be, yeah, well done, it's true, but I didn't see everyone raise their hands, so you have to raise your hands. Second, vitamin C is also known by the chemical name of, and I think people like Andrew, don't answer the question, ascorbic acid. Do you think it's true? Ascorbic acid? Follow Andrew. False? If you haven't followed Andrew, you're wrong. It's true, yes. The Nobel Prize-winning novel, The Old Man and the Sea, was written by the American author John Steinbeck. Is that true? Is that false? It's false. Who's the author? Hemingway. Yes, well done. Except for humans, crows, is it crows? Crows, yeah. The bird, crows, yeah. Or ravens are the most intelligent creature in the world. Is that true? Is that false? It looks like it's true. And my wife knew that this morning. She said, no, you have to look at ravens. They're really, really smart. I thought it was like dolphins or something like that, but, you know. Steak contains more protein than a regular-sized broccoli. Is that true or is that false? So steak contains more protein than a regular... Who says true? Yeah. Who says false? It's kind of half-half. Actually, it's false. It's the contrary. Broccoli contains more protein than a regular-sized steak. So eat more broccoli and less steaks. It helps global warming. In theory, it takes over 5,000 helium balloons to lift an average-sized human from the ground. Is that true? 5,000 helium balloons? Is that false? Well done, Nick and the rest. It's true. So, final one. The liver is the largest organ in the human body. Is that true? A few says true. Is that false? A few says false. It's false. So what's the largest?
Skin.
The skin. Well done. Yes. So what does it have to do with the talk this morning? Well, we are exploring what it means to be rooted. And we've a few weeks ago looked at rooted in prayer, rooted in the Bible, and today rooted in the life of Jesus. Learning to discover from the way he lived, not just his teaching, but the way he lived, what it means to express God's intention in our world. The kind of attitudes and behavior that takes place when God is at the heart of our faith, personal and our faith community together. And Jesus is in our reading in a gospel at the end of what is called the Sermon on the Mount. And he has harsh, profound, true, life-giving words in that sermon. And he finishes with speaking of true and false. True prophets and false prophets, or true disciples and false disciples. The word prophets was well understood in the first century. They had a whole history of prophets. Basically, they were those people called by God to deliver a message, to speak on behalf of God. And disciples were those who were learning from God, and with the coming of Jesus, learning from Jesus, apprentices. And he speaks that there will be false prophets, or people who will speak on behalf of God, but not the words that God wants to, and false followers of God, false disciples. And the one true test is their fruits. By their fruit, you will recognize them. Because fruits are something visible. You can't see the roots. You can see the tree. But what it produces at the end is the fruit. And so he gives this picture. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, and bad trees bear bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Now, in the Middle East, there was a thorn bush, which at a distance looked very much like a vine. It had little blackberries, and only when you went closely, you could see that they were not grapes. But from a distance, you might think those are grapes. And in the same way, there was a thistle that produced a flower, which could be mistaken for a fig. But on closer inspection, it was revealed and it was clear that the thorn bush didn't produce grapes and that the thistle didn't produce figs. And it's important to stress that although we are to be wise and discerning, we are not to be suspicious of everyone. That's not what Jesus is about. Nor are we to become kind of false teacher hunters. There is a great film coming on the screen, and it was a remake of one that I think many Christians were not supposed to watch, but Ghostbusters, you know, Ghostbusters? And they were on the look for ghosts, you know. We are not that kind of people. What Jesus says is, don't worry, the fruits will reveal what's really going on inside. So what kind of fruits does Jesus want us to reflect? Well, first, he speaks of character, the fruits of character. And he speaks in this passage that verbal profession, saying, is not enough. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heavens, but only he or she who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. He even goes further. He said, even supernatural activity is not a sign of true discipleship. It's not a sign of being a true follower of Jesus. Jesus warns that many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and perform miracles? And then I will tell you them plainly, I never knew you, away from me, you evildoers. And the key words there is, I never knew you. There was no real relationship there. I had a great teacher in one of the theological seminars that I've been studying at, and it was a Pentecostal seminar, Assembly of God. And he said, you know, this is really struggles for us because this is us, you know, the Pentecostal, miracles and, you know, speaking in tongues, signs. It says, that's not enough. It's clear that Jesus is not against the supernatural. He expects his followers to speak out the word of God, to be instruments of healing, that through the Spirit of God, Christian receive gifts, including gifts of healing, works of power and miracles. And in Acts, we have stories of people being freed from demonic powers, finding new freedom. But what he says is that in themselves, saying, profession, or extraordinary activities are not sufficient to prove that a person is someone doing the will and the teaching of God. And the great missionary Paul uses a similar picture. He says, the fruits of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Those are the fruit of a life that has been caught up with Jesus, a life that has been filled and is being filled with God's very presence, the Holy Spirit. It's a life that produces love. There is joy, peace, there is patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Those are the characteristics that we should expect in our life together. That we share a desire to help each other, to love each other, that we express God's joy and peace, that we patient with each other, kind, that we show faithfulness and gentleness. Those are fruits of God's presence in our life. And as we heard this morning, it's a journey, it's a growth. But it requires us to be deeply rooted in a relationship, and deeply rooted, if we are in that relationship, we want to know what that person's desire is. And so we're kind of deeply rooted in the life of Jesus. Someone once says that sometimes us may be more Protestant because we are so avert to works. We focus on Jesus' birth because there we see kind of his divinity. You know, Jesus is fully man and fully God. And then we skip to his death and resurrection because that's where we find forgiveness. And we miss the life of Jesus. Not just his teaching, but the way he approached people. What we learn about his attitude, because that's God's character to his creation. God's love to the least, the last, and the lost. The Sermon on the Mount speaks in the very beginning, happy are those, and it speaks of qualities like humility, thirst for what is upright, attitudes of mercy, meekness, purity, an ability and a desire to bring reconciliation, an ability even to love those who are opposing you. So first is a fruit of character. And second, as we learn to travel, to journey with Jesus, with his life, as we struggle with Scripture and the New Testament, we have a fruit of conduct. Those who enter the kingdom of heavens will be those who do the will of the Father, who start acting in the same way that Jesus acted in his human form. What we believe will affect how we live. And so in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus sets out how we should live, how we are called to express God's love for his world. Now, the truth is that we all make mistakes. We're not there yet. And some of us might be coming from quite difficult upbringings, and it takes time to be changed and transformed and formed into Christ-like life. But God is gracious and forgiving, and he enables us to pick ourselves up and to start again. And as we saw in that letter of Paul to the Christian in Colossae, he's asking that God's will be fulfilled in and through them. He says that he will fill them with knowledge of his will. A knowledge that comes through wisdom, that's kind of insight, perceptions, and understanding, that's the kind of a thoughtful knowledge. And the source is not human discovery, although we are using our brains because we are created this way, but it's not human discovery or humanly based wisdom, it's a spirit-based wisdom. Something that comes from the very presence of God. They are the things God has revealed to us, it says, by his Spirit. So the same author in another letter says, the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? And in the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Right now, I have no idea what's going through your mind. I don't know if you think he's really boring this morning, or if you're excited. You are the only person who knows that. You know your own thoughts. In the same way, God's, he's the only person who knows his own thoughts, his own plans. So he needs to reveal that to us, and he does that through his own Spirit. That's how we get to know God's mind, his purpose, his intentions, through God's Spirit. There is a translation from the Message that uses the same passage. It says, God's wisdom is something mysterious that goes deep into the interior of his purposes. You don't find it lying around on the surface. It needs to have deep roots. It's not the latest message. It's not the popular wisdom of the time, the fashionable wisdom of high-priced experts that will be out of date in a year or so, but more like the oldest, what God determined as the way to bring out his best in us, long before we ever arrived on the scene. And at the heart of that is the revelation of Jesus Christ. His birth, his life, his death, and his resurrection. The wisdom of God, the way God wants to reconcile us to himself, is through Jesus Christ. But the purpose is that we will then, through that revelation, knowledge, through opening our lives, through giving our lives to God through Jesus, accepting his forgiveness, that we might live out his desire, his will, that we will be restored to the original intention, which was to express his image, to express his character into his world. And for that, we need knowledge and insight that comes from God, so that we will live, as Paul says in our reading, a life worthy of the Lord, a life that's fully pleasing him, a life that bears fruits of good works, a life that increases in the knowledge of God. And there are all kind of present participles, you know, continuous participles. It's a journey, as we saw in our time of worship. So Jesus speaks of false and true. He also speaks of wise and foolish. That very well-known story. I don't know if you... I think this is the kind of the main picture of the story. Have you had that picture when you were a kid in the school of the two houses, one built on the rock and one built on the sand? And again, that idea of wise and foolish, was very common in first century Jewish beliefs. Maybe for us, like, oh, you can't call someone foolish, you know, it's a bit hurtful. But Jesus has strong words because he wants to wake us up. He wants us to have life. And so he shows this picture of a house that is built, one that is built on a strong foundation. And you know the importance today of building foundation, and it takes time to build good foundation for any building, and one that is built on shaky foundations. And again, the foundation is a person, is Jesus. He is the good, the faithful, the true person who can lead us into life. And so we are called to listen to him, to his teaching, and to see how he does things. Put into practice is what we see at the end. Put into practice. That's what determined between foolish and wise. And here it's not a way to say that we earn our way into the kingdom, that we become worthy of him. It's more a reality that if there is a real relationship, you will want to please the person. Like when you're a real love relationship with a partner, you work it out, even when it's hard. You try to understand each other. You live and you walk together. That's the kind of relationship Jesus is talking about here. If you really love me, Jesus says, you will want to do my and follow my way of life. God's good fruits are shown through those two areas, our character and our lifestyle. How we speak about God, how we act on his behalf, the kind of impact we have around us and our relationships. So to conclude, we saw that God is in the business of transforming our character and our conduct as we learn from the life of his son, Jesus Christ. As we put into practice his instruction, as we look at the way he lived in the power of the Holy Spirit. And what I want to finish with is actually using that prayer of to the letters of to the Christian in Colossae, but a different version from the Message, and I've changed the word slightly, because that's the best prayer we can have for this church as we seek to grow and be rooted in the life of Jesus. So let us pray. God, give us wise minds and spirits attuned to your will, that we may acquire a thorough understanding of the ways in which you work. Help us to live well for the Master, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, making him proud as we work hard in his mission. We believe that as we learn more and more about how you act, God, we will learn how we need to act. And we ask to receive your strength and power, a strength that stick out over the long haul, not the grim strength of gritting our teeth, but the glory strength you, God, gives. And may the faithfulness of your Spirit in us spill over into joy, thanksgiving. Father, you are the one who can make us strong enough to take part in everything that is bright and beautiful, those things you have for us. Amen.
For more Bible Bite podcasts, simply visit our website, www.stjamestaunton.co.uk, and click on resources. Thank you for listening, and may God be with you today.